This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. And let's begin today with reaction to President Trump's immigration policies, specifically whether the administration is complying with a court order to reunite children, more than 2,000 of them separated from their families at the U.S.-Mexico border. A federal judge says that has to happen within the month. But Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey says he sees no evidence that it is happening. Markey is just back from the border and told WBUR this morning there's still no concrete plan to reunite families.
Even with the deadline approaching from the court order, the administration has not given the agencies any guidance. They're still in the dark, and there is still no plan in place to reunite these children.
Trump administration officials insist they know where all the children are, but many Democrats continue to denounce Trump's zero-tolerance immigration policy that led to families being split up, even though President Trump signed an executive order to end the practice. Here's Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren during protests in Boston this past weekend describing her recent visit to the border.
This is about children held in cages. This is about babies scattered all across this country. This is about mamas who want their children back.
The very idea that the government condones separating children from their parents has shocked many Americans, perhaps none more so than 93-year-old Israel Arbiter of Newton. Arbiter was a victim of such a policy in Europe as World War II was breaking out. That's when the Nazis separated him from his parents and his younger brother. He never saw them again. They were murdered in a Nazi concentration camp.
It was tragic. It was tragic then. It's still tragic. It's every day with me. It never went away. It'll be with me until the day I'll die.
Israel, or Izzy Arbiter, is the founder and former president of the American Association of Jewish Holocaust Survivors of Greater Boston. He still has a faded Nazi ID number tattooed on his arm. He says following the news these days about a government separating families at the border has forced him to relive his most difficult memories.
I have the pain feeling when I see on television how families are being separated now. And children, little children. The other day I saw a little kid that was, I don't know, 5-7 years old, laying in a, like in a cage. You know, wire things.
That's right.
Laying on the floor. I got tears in my eyes. That's how I slept in the concentration camps. It's beyond understanding. I can feel that because I lived through it. I was taken away from my family, from my parents, and I never saw them again.
How old were you when that happened?
When the war broke out in 1939, I was 14 years old. And I spent the next 5.5 years in various camps, slave labor camps, concentration camps, and finally the death camp. And on the Dead March, and being liberated on the Dead March. Yeah. But the most tragic day in my life was the 23rd of February, 1942, when they ordered out all the people from the, all the Jewish people from that town to meet on the marketplace, and there was a separation. The young, what the Nazis thought that can perform slave labor, were placed on one side. The young and the elderly placed on the other side. My mother, my father, my seven-year-old brother. They were taken away to the death camp of Treblinka, and they emerged that the same day.
So, of course, so that was the last time you saw them.
That's the last time I saw them.
Yeah. Did you know that when you were 14, that was the last time you were going to see them?
Yes. Hmm. Yes. Because that was already the mass murder, the extermination, started in 1941 official. And so we heard from rumors from people that were took away before. It was who was lucky, one in 1,000 or 1 in 10,000 that escaped and came back and he told us what's happening there. And that's how we knew. And that they kept taking people from various, from the cities and towns, and we never saw those people again.
So living with that trauma for the rest of your life, you said you're 93 now.
93.
What does that do to a person? Yeah.
The pain and the suffering of that day is with me, like I said, and it'll be with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
There's nothing can be done now, but I still have the pain, and I will have it with me. And when I see this on television, what's being done now, and I scream, I say, why? At that time, it was the Nazis, they were murderers. But here in America, in a free country, to see families being separated, it's unbelievable.
And do you really see a kind of connection with those terrible days that you survived, the rest of your family did not? Do you really see a connection with what's going on today?
Well, I see a connection away, but I cannot say that it's being done the same way.
Yeah.
I cannot compare it because the killing is nothing. But the pain of separating children, the pain. And when I see how they screaming, mother, father, it reminds me, takes me back to Auschwitz. And the Nazis would not allow them. And they intentionally caused pain on them.
Yeah.
Eventually, these on the left side were killed and these on the right side were killed, which we haven't got here.
Yeah.
But the torture of little children and of parents, that is still for me hard to understand how this can happen in a free country in America.
And what's the answer to this difficult question about an immigration system that's broken, about people coming across the border and trying to get into this country illegally? A president was elected largely on the promise to deal with this broken border system and this broken immigration system. How do we address that in a way that's more humane, in your view?
Yes, it can be done. There's no question about it. Without causing pain in a very, very bad situation on the families. I came to this country in 1949 with my wife and a six-month-old baby. Today, thank God, we have three children, three grandchildren, and four great-grandchildren. You can see them. They're all over the place.
They're all over the walls where we're sitting. Yeah, it's a beautiful family, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you. But we were not separated.
Yeah.
We came. After the war, we were living another 4 years in a DP camp. You know what's a DP camp? A displaced person camp. Yeah. In Germany, and there was no separation of families, and that can be done today. I understand what the president is saying. You just can't take in the whole world to America.
Yeah.
And they are people undesirable that don't fit into this system. So you pick those that you want, and if they have families, either you take them with the families or you don't take them at all. But you don't split the families, especially with little children.
You know, it occurs to me that someone of your generation who went through the kind of historical trauma that you went through, America, for you and for many people, has always stood as this beacon to welcome people who need a new life, who need refuge. Do you think that promise of America is being threatened by this current policy?
Well, it depends which way you want to look at it. If you open the borders like it was done at the turn of the century when my aunts and uncles came, then that's no good. At that time, the country was big. We needed help of workers, fine. Today, we can still settle here, plenty of people. There's plenty of land. But It isn't only the land where you put the people. It's the work. It's the labor. It's the economy. There's a lot of things involved in this.
So we have to be a little more selective.
Yes.
Yeah.
But not separating the families.
Right.
That's torture. And this is now the 21st century. I'm sure we should have learned what happened during World War II by the Nazis. That should not happen any place on the world, and especially in America.
We know that there are probably 2,000, maybe 2,200, 2,300 children who are separated from their families relatively recently. These children, sadly, have already lived this trauma. How can we help them? How can we help them?
Unite them, bring them back together.
Right. And then?
And then if we need them, yep. if they need it, and if we have the room, let them stay. If not, send them back, but as a unit, as a family. Never separate a family because that causes pain to everybody involved. In my opinion, have them going through that pain. I think that this is the worst crime, the worst pain that could have been imposed on people. Hmm. I'm sure you're a family man. How would you feel if somebody would take your children out? You wouldn't know where they are.
It's unimaginable. Yeah, it's unimaginable.
That's right.
But of course it's happening.
So I'm saying the first thing must be those 2,000 people, 2,000 children, find out exactly who they are, unite them with them children, and then decide what you want to do with them. I know there are people coming from all over the world that want to come to America. They want to come for a better life. We can only accommodate so many. So at the border, it should be done there. Either we can use you, then the family goes with you. If not, you got to go back home.
I want to thank you for talking to us.
My pleasure. It's an honor.
Well, it's an honor for us to talk to you, and I'm really, really grateful for your perspective.
You're welcome, and I want to thank you for coming and having an interest in this, and let the world know, let the people of America know. Can you imagine what's being said in foreign countries now? What kind of a country is America? We should have learned from the past so that we don't do it again.
Israel Izzi Arbiter lives in Newton with his wife, Anna Arbiter, also a Holocaust survivor. He's the founder and former president of the American Association of Jewish Holocaust Survivors of Greater Boston. Send us a tweet. Let us know what you think at radioboston.org or send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.